CliffCentral.com. I hope you're off to a great start this Tuesday morning. No one's bothering you, irritating you, driving you crazy. You know, we live in such an interesting time. Art has always been a source of controversy for some people. Some people can look at a work of art and they take it for what it is. It's a creation from someone else. It's their mind at work. It's usually something involved in some extraordinary skill in an ability to sculpt or to paint or to draw or to write poetry or anything else. These are all forms of art. And it's incredible to me. People spend sometimes their entire lives perfecting and working on and developing these skills. But it's a product of their minds. It's an idea that has become corporeal. I love that about art. It shouldn't really be a seat of controversy for so many people, but it is. For some people, art is a reason to be upset. It's a reason to be offended. It's kind of like what Twitter's become. And there are tremendous artists, talented artists in South Africa who seem to just garner enormous amounts of controversy. I mean, we all know the names of Ayanda Mbulu, we know Brett Murray, and we know Yul Damaso. Yul put together this incredible painting. He painted it back in 2010, I think it was. Was it even before that? When did you start working on it, Yul?
I started working on it in 2010.
Yeah. Beautiful painting. You based it on Rembrandt, which is a hard thing to do because you could have quite easily gone and, you could have worked on some...
I could have picked a shabbier artist to try and...
I mean, Rembrandt's difficult to work with. But,
for sure.
But it was such a great idea, and this is what I love about it.
Thank you.
Idea, entirely apart from the work, which is, it's fantastic. The idea is that the ANC, you had all these onlookers. You had Jacob Zuma and Cyril Ramaphosa. Not even just the ANC, because you had Desmond Tutu, F.W. de Klerk, Thabo Mbeki, Helen Zille, even Nkosi Johnson, looking on as they did an autopsy on Nelson Mandela.
Yeah. And Nkosi performing the autopsy.
Right.
Yeah.
Very, very upsetting to some people. You were accused of witchcraft. You don't respect the dead.
Yeah. I was accused of being anti-South African, anti-African, racist.
Yeah, lots of these things.
Yeah.
Now, are you okay?
Am I into witchcraft?
No. I mean, after all of this, it's now 7 years later.
Yeah.
Eight years later.
Yeah.
Have people calmed down? Have they moved on?
They have. Actually, they calmed down after Mr. Mandela passed. I was interviewed again. And then the calls and the response from public was very different. Some claiming painting being prophetic. And even now, the same thing. Cyril Ramaphosa in his position now and sitting second from Desmond Tutu in the hierarchy of the painting.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much after he passed away, people understood that I wasn't having a go at Nelson Mandela. I was trying to make a bigger, broader statement.
Well, I mean, there are a lot of people who are hovering over the corpse of Mandela now for various reasons. Some of them gain huge political advantage from it.
Yeah.
Some of them try to associate themselves with his legacy. And some are interested in tearing his legacy apart. This is what an autopsy is.
Yep.
So, I mean, it was prophetic in some ways. Do you feel vindicated? Because you've got a lot of criticism from people and being called racist and being called anti-African or anti-South African. These are all horrible things for an artist to be called. That's not why you did the work.
Yeah. It's the whole process became a little bit surreal. And then I've almost, to some degree, just ignored it. And I think you kind of have to if you want to move on with your life. You can't, if somebody criticizes you for anything, if you take it to heart, you're not going to move forward in your life.
Now, I see even in the, it's the Business Insider have said, this is just yesterday, they published an article, a racist in inverted commas painting of Mandela's supposed autopsy has been sold for 450,000 rand. These people are literalists. I mean, it's not an actual autopsy. You weren't there watching an actual autopsy, and you certainly didn't put these people in. They weren't there at the autopsy.
Gotta love the press, huh?
It seems, and they're happy to call it a racist painting. And
I
say that it was his actual autopsy. I mean, this is ludicrous.
I think they're just referring to the fact that I was called a racist at the time, that the painting was considered racist by some at the time. I don't think they're saying that now.
Do we have a problem in South Africa with art?
We have with art. We have more than just a problem with art, yes, but we do have a problem with art.
All right. Let's start with the bigger problem and work our way towards art. You were going to say, yes, we have a problem with, and I interrupted you.
Well, I thought you, because of the races, I thought you were going to ask with racism. And I thought, boy, we have a problem with racism.
Well, we have a problem with race, yeah, and we have a problem with racism.
Mm.
And the two are perhaps, one is embedded in the other.
Yeah.
But in the middle of this is also art.
For sure.
Because when people hold a mirror up to society and show, sometimes in the form of cartoons, whether it's a, you know, as a Pirro or anyone else, sometimes in the form of works like yours, a lot of people are very uncomfortable with this because it makes them countenance their own prejudices.
Yeah, exactly right. And unfortunately, we don't have an art gallery or a visiting public. It's not part of the culture.
Very few people visit art galleries. So it's considered an elitist endeavor.
Yeah. So when you get confronted with an image like that, if you were regularly going to galleries and just not just galleries, but that kind of a thing, your mind is more open to the possibilities of what people are doing. And artists, we see things differently. We just do. It's very difficult to explain, but we see things differently, and that's what we're trying to portray by painting. Drawing, sketching, cartooning, singing, you know, the same.
Why is it that in certain countries, the more controversial the work is, the better? I mean, like, some people think that it's a form of social commentary. It's taken the place of editorial in some ways. And yet in other places, art's just beautiful. It must just be pretty and adorn the walls of rich people's houses. I mean, why do we have such a disparity in what art is? And do people need to expand their ideas of what art is? Do you think about these things when you compose a work?
I am concerned with aesthetics. I don't know if it's my Italian heritage, but I am concerned about, does something look good? Does it look nice? Would I... You know, if I do, I've used this explanation before. The artists, we need to try and find another way to show the young African child in the street without it looking as such a sad or morbid image. We have to portray it another way, and it's very difficult because we're trying to say something that is a very delicate subject.
First of all, I've got to say that your outrageous moustache and beard are just like Rembrandt. So I think that you know, life sometimes parodies art and art sometimes parodies life, and I'm trying to figure out which one it is. Look, I think that this is a great work. Aren't you thrilled that it managed to fetch a price like this?
I am, yeah. Look,
a lot of artists in their own lifetimes...
I'm thrilled that I don't have to explain it every day from now on.
There we go, it's gone. It belongs to someone.
I have people coming through to the studio for the last 8 years... 3-4 times a week.
Did you have it on display there?
I had it in the studio in the back section. I've got three sections in the studio: working section, display section, and the back section. There's got a little lounge area, coffee table, where if there's meetings or people come to visit, we sit and chat. And the painting is in there with all the newspaper articles. And sometimes people would come just to browse, and they just make a beeline for the back room. So somebody's obviously told them, just go to the back room, that's where the painting is.
Mm-hmm.
So they'd walk in, hike, and just have a look straight to the back room, and then they'd start asking questions, and I have to start explaining. Which I didn't mind at all, but 8 years of explaining, it's enough. Yeah?
Well, I'm just glad that no one, because a lot of people imagine that defacing this kind of work would be the way to behave. You know, if you don't like something, that you must destroy it. And that happened with the spear, for example.
Yeah.
You know, people went in and they put paint on it and they tried to damage the work. Rather than just ask the questions that these people asked of you, even though you were sick of answering them, at least you did.
Yeah, I suppose.
And at least there's an interest, and you know, you can you can get people to
at
pay
least
attention.
That, yeah, sure.
So did the you can't reveal who the buyer is, and that wouldn't be right. But imagine for those of us who don't know how this works. Did a guy just arrive or a woman just arrive at your studio one day and say, I'm here to buy the painting?
I got an email asking that he had seen it on my website and that it was still available, how much, and then that's how the negotiation started.
Very nice.
We have no idea if it's staying in the country. It seems like it is. It's somewhere in the Cape. That's all we can say.
Wow, interesting.
But we don't know if this is a broker for a collector. We don't know.
You don't know anything.
We don't know. No.
You have no idea who the final destination
we
is.
We have no idea.
Okay. Yeah. What I'm interested in is, are you compelled to tell people how much you sold it for?
It's a very difficult one to answer. Well, not difficult to answer. It's a difficult one to be comfortable with because these, you know, people don't like to talk about their salaries.
Sure, of course.
Everybody's salary is a big secret except mine, because if you're going to buy a painting off me, my salary is on the table. But for the art world and the art career, it is necessary to tell how much, because now it's these new levels of
it determines earnings, your value,
my value
in the
yes,
market, right?
Absolutely, yeah.
If people think that you sold it for 10,000 rand, it does nothing for your reputation. Yeah. If they know that you sold it for 500,000 rand, it does a lot for your reputation.
Yes, definitely.
So in the wake of this, you're anticipating a lot more interest in your work, and possibly that there will be people, perhaps even international collectors, who will suddenly be aware of you.
From your mouth to God's ears. Huh?
Well, sure, because this is how it works in the art world.
Yes.
If you sell something for a lot of money, and by no means is this the most expensive painting ever sold.
No, for sure.
But it's a damn fine price.
It's a good price. It's my best price at the stage.
Sure, and you held on to it for 8 years, and you hadn't found a buyer up to then. There probably were a lot of interested parties.
I've had a few offers, a few serious offers, and turned the first one down. Actually, we'll turn the three or four of them down.
It's like a jet engine. The more air it sucks in, the faster it goes, and the more fast it goes, the more air it sucks in, the faster it goes.
It's this
virtuous cycle.
Perpetual.
So now you're probably going to have a lot of international people take note of you that might not have before, because you hadn't broken a certain price bracket. I mean, this is just the very unsexy capitalist side of the art business.
Yeah.
I mean, it's important because it pays the bills.
Yeah, exactly right.
And a lot of people don't know how hard it is in the art world, because there are plenty of artists. Anyone can call themselves an artist. Mm. You can produce work. But there is a pecking order, and it is very hard to establish yourself.
Also, consider the fact that the painting was sold without a gallery representation or an agent.
That's interesting.
So there's no commission on that. So, I mean, galleries take 50%, some galleries even as much as 60%. So the markup on top of that, who knows?
Good for you that you did a private sale.
Yeah. Well, I've never had gallery representation.
Is that the gallery's fault, or do you choose not to?
It's again an internal fight where every now and again I think I should be with a gallery. And being with a gallery does come with good stuff.
Sure.
It also comes with stuff that's not so good. And I've chosen to go my own road from the beginning. I didn't study art. I didn't study art at school as a subject. I just decided to do it. My grandfather was an artist in Italy. I was hoping at some stage that he would be able to teach me. I went to Italy, and he was in hospital dying, so I never managed to get that from him.
You inherited the talent.
Yeah, and so I just decided I'm not going to be at the gallery, and that's it.
Are you a fairly prolific artist? Do you put out a lot of work? I mean,
I have been a prolific artist, but in the last few years with this new gallery being open to the public, I have so much interruption that I'm not very prolific in the last 3-4 years.
Why don't you shut the door? Keep these people the hell out of your way.
That's the reason why I wanted to be an artist. I don't have to have a closed door in an office.
Okay.
I like the openness. It's a catch-22. I need to work. I need the solitary confinement, but I get cabin fever very easily. So if somebody comes to visit, I'm welcome with open arms, and I'm chatty, and because it's nice to have that interaction with somebody. But it takes me away from work at the same time.
You mentioned when we were talking earlier about the fact that too few people in South Africa go to galleries. We do have a thriving art community. It's by no means on the scale of Paris, New York, Milan, London, you know, even places in China where I suppose there is a huge amount of art produced.
Yeah.
But do you think there's that old adage that a healthy society, a healthy environment, a place of creation, productivity and general satisfaction can usually be gauged by the amount of art and free expression in that society?
It seems to be the fact. If you look at other civilizations or other countries and progress, art is usually at the forefront.
Well, it's also the way we measure whether a civilization was successful or even existed.
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't know about ancient Persia if it weren't for their works of art that
remain.
Ancient Rome, ancient Greece.
Yeah.
ancient Egypt. These are the paragons of the ancient world, and what we have to judge them by now is their art, right?
Absolutely.
So what do you think South Africa will be judged by in 100
look, we,
years?
I think we... I don't know about government. I always hear bad stories with regards to funding for arts.
Mm. Well, but, the Department of Arts and Culture don't seem to be doing anything except arranging funerals.
Yeah, well, there you go. The artists, however, are fighting a very good fight and really pushing. The artists are doing a magnificent job at the moment. They're really pushing themselves and getting out there on their own without the help. You know, so
are you friends, all of you? Do you kind of interact
mostly,
with each other?
We're mostly friends. It wasn't always like that when I started out. I felt like an outsider, not being part of the art community. But I think it's changed quite dramatically now. You go to, you know, these buildings where these, you know, mixed artists and everybody's hanging out and, you know, bouncing ideas and feeding off each other's energies. And there's definitely things have changed in the last 10, 15 years for sure.
For the better.
By a long mile for the better.
And is Cape Town or Joburg the nexus of this? I mean, is there a competition between the two? Are there a lot more artists in the one than the other?
I mean, there's a lot more artists in Joburg because we have more people.
Right.
That's the bottom line. I think the problem with Cape Town is, do Cape Townians spend money on art? Or is it, because they're trying to survive on the expense of their rents.
In other words, it's much harder to live.
A lot of the Cape Town art market is foreigner based. I don't really know for sure. But there's more artists in Joburg just purely because of the numbers.
If you and Ayanda and Brett had to show
mash up
a work each at the same time, I think a lot of people's heads would explode.
We'd probably not have to be in the same room.
Well, that you
would have to be
create
far
mental
away.
Health problems for a lot of people in politics. Do you talk to these other guys? I mean, are you and Ayanda and Brett?
I've met Ayanda once. Brett, I've never met.
Ayanda's very controversial.
Yeah,
talks a lot. He's noisy.
Yeah.
No, but I mean, he's got interesting points of view, right? I've met him before. He's entirely happy to give his opinion on things, which is good.
I'm sure it is good. It's everybody's an individual and it's his own
outrageous
deal.
Paintings of people giving each other anal sex. It's lots going on.
Hardcore, almost pornographic.
Yeah, sure. The Guptas and Jacob Zuma.
Nelson Mandela. Yeah.
Right. And then Brett with the spear, penises all over the place. Yours, by no means pornographic like that.
Yeah.
If that's considered pornography, which I don't think it is, but that's what people
say. I had a lot of complaints that Nelson was naked in my painting, even though he did have a cloth over him, and saying that a man of his stature shouldn't be bare-chested in front of people, etc.
I mean, your ancestors in Italy, they've been painting naked people and sculpting naked people since the dawn of time, right?
Yeah.
I mean, there have been prudes, like certain popes put fig leaves over the genitalia, but by and large, we've accepted that the naked human form is one of the things that people like to paint and draw and sculpt.
It seems that we, I don't know if the term is political correctness, it's not political correctness, but we're going in a backward circle now.
You think we're becoming more prudish?
Absolutely.
I mean, really?
You can't see, look at the collections in banks now. See if there's any nudes that you see.
There won't be, right?
No. And now we... I'm
interested in this. Speak freely. You're allowed to. It's one of the few places you can.
Somebody was explaining to me about... I don't know which bank it is. It might be RMB, that they're changing their collection to not offend Muslim clientele.
Yeah.
So that means no faces, no eyes. So
no anthropomorphic references at all.
Is that the term?
Well, there's nothing to do with the human image being portrayed in the art, because that's considered haram in certain circles.
That's it.
And of course, also a made-up thing in the last couple of years, because if you go back 600 or 700 years, you'll see that there was lots of Muslim art that featured people, including Muhammad.
Oh,
so it's a novel idea, this. I mean, you can ask Islamic scholars and they'll be far more lucid on this than I will. But as I understand it, there wasn't any controversy in portraying Muhammad once.
Okay.
It became a controversy later on. And if you go to places like the Hagia Sophia in Istanbul, which is an old mosque, before that it was a Byzantine church, people perfectly happy with mosaics of people.
Of people, yeah. So that's why I say I feel that we're becoming much more prudish, and we are closing ranks about what we can see or what we should be able to see.
Does that put you off? Does that change?
Absolutely, it puts me off. So for me, even with regards to my painting, it wasn't something that you had to like. I wasn't painting a painting for you to go, oh, that's so pretty. I was trying to make a statement. And it's okay if you don't like it. And it's okay if you don't like seeing a nude painting or of anything. You make your own decision. You know, if you look in the street, you know, if I don't like you, what's that? We must get rid of you now.
Well, this is how this is how a lot of people deal with things they don't like. They want to just expunge it. Really? I mean, it's crazy, right?
It's absolutely nuts.
What if someone had bought this painting and they wanted to destroy it?
Now, I'd probably be okay with it.
If they bought
because
it...
Because I'm numb to it now. It's been around me for so long and so much that I would probably be okay. In the beginning, maybe not so much. And depending on my mood, maybe it would be me who was destroying it. For a different reason.
Really? Were you ever tempted? Did you wake up one night and...
It's a hard world, the art world. And sometimes frustration. You just want to tear apart and set fire to some stuff and go, right, there you go.
Are you happy now?
Yeah.
Jesus. Really is tough for you artists, huh?
Yeah.
So you actually at one point almost thought that this would be a way to get rid of the trouble, the problem.
It's not the only painting I thought that about.
Really?
Yeah. It's a difficult world, the art world. You know, people think I've, you know, the reason why people come visit me at the studio is like, because Yul doesn't do anything. He's an artist. He hangs out. And then eventually when you see the painting, like, oh, did you do that? Like, yes. When did you do it? Well, at night, because you keep visiting me during the day.
So who are these people who keep interrupting you? Are these just members of the public who are interested
members
in
of the
work?
Public, friends. My studio is an open to the public studio, specifically. I also wanted people to walk in and see an artist at work. And not just the painting is there, but you have no idea how it was created. You know, that's why I encourage people to walk in and chat. And you, at any time, you can walk into the studio and see what I'm doing, see what I'm busy with, ask questions. I have friends and some people that sit there for hours, just hanging out, doing their own work
or to come and spend some time there so that I can show you how you could be rude to people and get them out. I'm sure I'd be able to double your productivity and I would do it for the small price of just one of your paintings. Right. I'd come and chase people out of your way.
I accept.
Okay, but what was that frustration particularly?
During my career as an artist, the times that I've been the most frustrated is when there's no money in the bank.
Sure.
And I'm producing works that people ooh and ah about, but they don't put money down. And when you're struggling to put food on the table, I just get frustration and I just want to smash stuff. And because I'm just angry, it's like, you know, people look at it and they say, oh, wow, this is beautiful work. It's amazing, blah, blah, blah. But, okay, so it's – and then what frustrates me is that people go to – a store that has artwork, which is, you know, reproduced prints en masse in the shops, and they'll go buy that
for a couple of thousand rand sometimes.
And there's 200,000 people that have got exactly the same picture on their walls. And it's like, why? Just go to an artist, find an artist.
And you don't have to pay hundreds of thousands like they did for this Autopsy of Mandela painting. You probably have some work that's for sale for a couple of hundred bucks.
If you come to my studio, there's something to buy from 200 rand up. And it might not be a painting.
But so you can get an original.
It's an original. Well, now is Michele Kashani has been making cufflinks from some of my Mandela artwork. So those are slightly more expensive. They're 500 Rand, 550 Rand. But you've got other cufflinks that she makes. So there's something to buy. These little paintings for 2,000-3,000 Rand, 4,000 Rand. And everything up, you know, right up to over 100 Grand.
And you do very big canvases as well?
Sure. I just finished a big piece. If you look on the Instagram account, it's a 10-piece canvas of cherry blossoms down a stairwell.
Oh, wow.
It measures around 5 meters across.
See if I'm following you. What are we on Instagram?
At Yul Damazo.
Okay, so that's Y-I-U-L-L.
Double L, yeah.
Y-U-I-double L. There you are. You pop up straight away.
Yeah.
Can't be a lot of other Yul Damasos.
No, it's a tough name to grow up with as a kid, but I'm glad for it now because nobody has it.
All right. I see there's also a hashtag for you. A whole lot of your work there as well. Hmm. Very, very nice. Are you one of those artists who will spend hours, days, weeks, months poring over the same piece, coming back to it, changing it, or do you churn them out like Picasso used to?
I've churned out and I also mull over the painting again and again. So, like now, especially with a bigger studio, you have the space to do that. So I have 3 or 4 works on the go at any given time. So if I don't feel like doing the nude, I can go across to do the portrait. Or I developed another technique, which is some works there of iron and copper rust on canvas.
Oh.
So, and that I have to work lying down flat because of the acids that I have to use. The paintbrush doesn't hold it, so it's like water. So you have to lie it flat on a table and wash acids on it. So wow. I do that, or oil painting, or
so you really
sculpture.
Do work in all media. I mean, it sounds like a very diverse range of stuff.
Yeah, you know, the sculptures, quite limited, and I've just been commissioned now to do a big piece. So that will probably be in bronze. So now I'm going to be going to a foundry. So the avenue's opening up. The other sculptures I've done have been very small scale, and tweaking, you know, other objects and making them my own.
That sounds so exciting. This is the kind of stuff most artists dream of doing. Obviously, you know, when times are good, they're good. You could have a couple of months where you are making a ton of money, and then you could have some months where there's nothing.
Those are the times when I want to
burn things.
Stuff.
No. Well, try to hold back on that.
No, well, I'll never do it. It's just a thought process.
This is why Van Gogh cut off his ear,
there
right?
There you go, you see.
Frustration. But it is quite something to be an artist of renown and to be able to sell works at the kind of price that you sold this one at during your lifetime.
Sure.
It doesn't happen for all artists.
Yeah.
Some of them lead these miserable lives. They produce all this stuff. No one appreciates them until they're dead. At least you've got some appreciation.
The art world is such a fascinating animal. You know, you have these... I always claim that there are, in the art business, there are no rules, and the rules are there to be broken and also followed. So you'll have an artist who is absolutely brilliant, who cannot pay for his next meal, and he's done all the rules of business, and he's done everything that you should do, and exactly by the book. And you get another guy, maybe not so talented, just gets it right somehow, and he's making millions. And then you get other artists who are very good, who are making millions, and somebody who's not so good, you know, it's just the rules are just so diverse.
The old way used to be that a great artist usually had to have a great patron.
For sure.
And sometimes, if you're lucky enough during your life as an artist, you'll find such a person who will champion you, who will introduce you to their rich friends, and suddenly everyone will want some of your work in their house.
A lot of the galleries are like that now. The thing with being with a gallery is that it comes with actual buyers. You know, the database of a gallery is not people who are like to just to be seen and hang out.
No,
like,
no, these are not people
who
wander through
drop
looking
money,
at pictures.
They will drop money on a
They
painting.
Go there to shop.
Yeah.
Like,
so when
like
you're with
poor
the gallery,
people, like we go to shopping mall, rich people go to galleries to shop.
There you go. So there is a good something to be with a gallery in that respect. That's the new patron. And then every now and again you do get patrons. I've got a couple of clients that are patrons for me. They come back and they're buying and commissioning me again. Every couple of years they come back and they write, "Well, I've got a new space, or I've got another business and I want something for that." And
is this the most expensive thing you've sold?
Yes.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Well, listen, congratulations.
I sold other works for $200, $250.
I think this,
but this
is
one is
fantastic.
For
Tell everybody that you know. $500,000 rand for Yul's painting. Congratulations,
Thank
man.
You very, very
this
much.
This is terrific.
Thank you.
And I wish you only the best. I mean, we've known you for a long time, and we interviewed you not so long ago about...
Do you remember the first time you interviewed me was with the Dreadlocks Mediva?
Yes, I do remember that.
Too.
Yeah, that's right.
I got into trouble with that as well.
It's 18 years or something ago. Mm. You're always in trouble.
For no good reason, though.
No, and you're not looking for trouble. You're not the kind of guy who goes around saying outrageous things.
Absolutely.
No. Trying to do your thing. Mm. Well, listen, people are starting to get a grip on the kind of stuff you're doing. People are starting to pay big money for your work. May this be the beginning of terrific things.
Thank you so much.
I love the fact that there are South African artists like you, and there are very few like you, who are making some headway here, because really we should be able to, in 2018, we should be able to produce a lot more work that will sell at this kind of price. So congrats. And I don't think there's anything controversial about this at all. I wish it was double the price for you.
Same.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Yul Damaso, everybody. You can go and find out more. Follow him on Instagram. That's a great place to start. You could see some of his work there. And just an interesting milestone in South African art that this painting, which garnered so much noise and controversy about 8 years ago, suddenly sold. Not suddenly. It's taken a long time. For almost 500,000 rand. Congratulations to you. CliffCentral.com